thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and today my guest on this podcast is Boo Boo Stewart. Boo Boo has done a lot of work for someone who's only 22, but he is best known for his roles in X-Men, Days of Future Past, Disney Descendants, and the Twilight Saga Eclipse. Boo Boo, thanks for joining us.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So when did you know you wanted to be an actor?
I've grown up on set my whole life, living in L.A., my father being in the business, and I always just wanted to be there and hang out, but when I saw Heath Ledger play the Joker in The Dark Knight, honestly, it sounds like so kind of cliche to say that, I guess, but his performance, it made me think back to the times when, you know, when I was really young and I saw skateboarders, and I was like, that's so cool, you know, I want to be a skateboarder, you know. When I saw that, I was like, that's amazing, I want to be an actor. And so, I was 15.
So he inspired you?
Immensely.
Crazy. To put it mildly.
Yeah, I mean, just inspired, because I've grown up around it, and I always had done things on set, stunts, helping my dad with stunts. I did music, just like, because living in L.A., you're exposed to so many different kinds of things, and I don't know, but that performance made me want to be an actor.
Did you, so you say your dad was in the business, I happen to know that, but he's a stunt guy, right?
Yeah, he's a stunt coordinator, actor, stuntman. He's done, like, second unit directing, just a lot of things, you know.
So you grew up surrounded by it. So how did you get started, though, exactly? Because there's a lot of kids in this town whose parents are in the biz somehow or another, but... You know, that doesn't necessarily translate to their getting into the business.
No, I'm getting started. I don't know. It was interesting. It was kind of like such a fluid, like, transition because I was already, like, you know, dancing and things like that. Getting started, I guess my dad just, once we kind of figured out that I wanted to do it, he really just, you know, started asking around, you know, for help kind of a thing, I guess, in just a plain way to put it. But, yeah, just asking if I could do a little bit parts here and there, and, you know, I would audition for things. I just started auditioning, and there were some agencies. It's always an interesting thing, getting started. Friends ask me, like, how do I get an agent? I think it's such a catch-22, like, there's no real way.
No.
Like, I don't think there is.
There's every way, which
is
the other way to look at it. Every way and no way.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. So getting started, trying to pinpoint, like, how it happened, I don't know. I just started doing stunts, like, working with my dad.
And you were a kid when you were doing that.
Yeah.
No, you were also modeling when you were a kid, right?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, that too. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was doing stunts, and then I just started auditioning for commercials. You start auditioning for H&M and, like, you know, random photo shoots and Target and stuff like that. And I got really lucky with, like, Hot Wheels. And I was doing music, and I think it was my older sister who had an audition for this Disney group. And I ended up going, and they asked me to audition, so it's one of those things, you know, and I auditioned and got that, then I started touring with the Disney group, and...
So how old were you when you were touring
12.
With the Disney, you were 12 years
yeah,
old,
12.
And you're like, you were opening for Jonas Brothers
and
stuff, right?
Jonas Brothers were just becoming famous, like, I don't know if you remember, but, like, it was year 3000, and that kind of era for Jonas Brothers, like, super early, but then with Miley Cyrus and the Cheetah Girls were, like, really famous at the time.
And you're opening and touring with them.
Yeah, we did, like, the Staples Center. And, like, it was crazy.
You're 12 and doing the Staples Center.
This
is insane.
So it's, like, it's kind of weird. I don't, like, getting started, I guess, was just such a natural thing because I was so enveloped inside of the business already. Like,
well, and you were dancing, too.
I was dancing, too. In the Disney group, I danced, yeah.
That's amazing. That's so cool. I love it when guys, you know, are into dance, especially. It's, like, such this kind of obvious cliche thing for girls to be interested in dance when they're kids, but there aren't as many guys who, like, really enjoy and appreciate
dance.
No,
and that's the thing, too. If you're a young guy and you're listening to this, start dancing, because if you want to start working, there aren't a lot of guy dancers, and I don't think I'm that good of a dancer, but because, you know, I have, like, a different look, and because there weren't a lot of guy dancers, as, like, a child, I really worked a lot. I mean, I trained really hard, too, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, it helps that, you know, go to an open call for, you know, dancing for the Kids' Choice Awards, being a backup dancer, and there's, like, God, say if there's a 200 girls is like 75 guys.
Ah, so your odds
you know
are
what I mean?
So
they're
much
so,
better.
So it's so much better. And yeah, so I really started. I danced a lot for Brian Friedman. I mean, hi-hat, like some of the top choreographers, and did all the Macy's Passport shows. So it's so random. But I guess the more you do, the more people you meet, and the more work you can come by because you know people.
It's really true. I mean, work does beget work, and every time you work with somebody new
mm-hmm.
and you like each other
mm-hmm.
and you enjoy each other, that tends to open more doors for the future.
Yeah, especially in like stunts and dancing and modeling. You go in, you know the photographer if you're doing a photo shoot. That helps. You know the clients. If you're dancing, you know the choreographer, which is 50% of the battle.
Right.
Just
there.
Knowing them.
Mm-hmm.
Being friends with them. It's
yeah.
a weird thing.
Well, it's not weird, though, because, I mean, a lot is at stake on all of these projects, and
mm-hmm.
everybody knows that they need somebody that
they can count on. Yeah, they can trust.
You know, and they can
that's
trust
true.
who's going to actually show up and do the work and be easy and pleasant to work with.
Yeah, no,
you know?
That's very true.
Because every
yeah.
time you try somebody new, it's a wild card.
Yeah, yeah, you know? No, it is, yeah.
So, I mean, that whole thing, like, it's who you know. It's like, well, there's some truth to that, but it's for good reason.
Yeah, no, that is very true, yeah. It's, yeah, if you're not good at your job, you know what I mean? Or if you just don't put in the time or the work, you know, it doesn't matter who you know. If they can't trust you, you're going to be able to, you know, be there. Then.
Yeah, and the word does get out. It does go both ways. I was talking to Victor Boyce, Cameron's dad, at one point, and he said that you and Cameron were in a dance class together at
yeah.
some point when you were kids?
When we were really young. God, I don't know how old I was. Like, maybe 12 or something, you know? Oh, maybe younger than that because Cameron was really, really, really young. But yeah, we were in the same dance company.
That's
together.
So cute.
So a lot of dance classes together. We're in the same company. We used to dance at Millennium, then it got moved to another. Our company moved. But yeah, it's crazy.
I love that. I love that. And then to see you guys working together on Descendants is like
so random.
It
but
is.
It's
beautiful though,
yeah,
right?
But it's amazing. Yeah, it really is cool. And to see us like. Because at that age, you wouldn't hang out because your age difference is so much. But now, like, I love Cameron. Like, he's the man.
he is so great. Well, so with all of this early work, you're a kid. You're like under 10,
yeah.
And you're modeling and you're dancing and you're doing stunts and your life seems to be pretty like fluidly, as you said, involved in this industry already. How did you manage school through that? What did you guys do?
School, because, yeah, I guess I started working when I was, like, 10. School was, I guess it was in elementary school. I would have been in fifth grade at that time. And that was my last year of school. And my school wasn't very, I don't want to say they weren't supportive of, like, me working. But it just got harder and harder. I can understand. I mean, I'm missing, you know, loads of school, you know. And depending on each teacher is so different. Like, you could have a great teacher who's like, yeah, here's all your homework. Go, have, you know, learn. You know, it's such a learning experience to go travel and stuff. But, yeah, towards, I guess, fifth grade got a little harder because I guess your school gets harder and, you know, you're learning things that you need to learn for the rest of your life. And luckily, I was finishing that and I was just going to be homeschooled. And so I started homeschooling. And from... Yeah, middle school on, homeschooled all the way into the finish. And I finished school when we were shooting, the Breaking Dawn films, because we did those together, and I finished school during that time. So.
That must have felt good.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I actually finished school right when I came back, that's right, because I was just trying to get it all done. I was like, come on, Guru, you're homeschooled, you can just knock it out, you have so much free time up here. We were filming in Squamish, Canada. It's kind of... I don't want to say the middle of nowhere, but it's beautiful, all the amazing hiking, but at that age, you know, I just wanted to, you know, play video games, I guess, but I don't know, I just told myself to finish my school.
So how old were you when you finally graduated?
17.
Yeah.
Yeah, 17, done.
Well, so something that a lot of kids, you know, want to know from people that they really admire was, like, you know, how was your school experience? Was school hard for you and
yeah.
the whole social thing and bullying and all that? That sounds like something you may have just sort of sidestepped. Do you feel like you did or maybe not?
Yeah, in a weird way, yeah, because I never, you know, I kind of skipped over that whole part of my life. But in elementary school, in fourth and fifth grade, I mean, in school, I just kept to myself, really. I mean, I wasn't, like, I would always go play, like, make-believe with my friends. It kind of makes sense.
Because
like,
you're an actor.
Yeah, it really honestly makes sense. Like, Lord of the Rings came out, and I would be Aragorn, and my friend would be Legolas, and we'd run around the field fighting orcs. Like, literally. I love sports, but I never was on any teams. I did martial arts, but, yeah, I don't know. I just kind of kept to myself and played make-believe and drew on everything. I was always drawing.
But that's what a lot of creatives do in school. They, you know, they don't necessarily fit perfectly in, and so they kind of run off into their imaginations. And
yeah, that was great. I mean, yeah, fantastic.
That is so cool. Well, so speaking of sports and you know, martial arts, and I know you're an incredibly accomplished martial artist. How important has training been for you of various types?
Oh, incredible. I love training. Training is such a... I mean, I love it and I hate it. We have a love-hate relationship. I mean, sometimes you just don't want to train. Sometimes you have the bug to train. Like, I've had the bug because I haven't been able to. It's been gone. But no matter what your training is, you know, whether you're training to be a dancer, an actor, or whatever, you know, having that mental strength to be able to train, I think is 50% of the battle just to get yourself in there to train is hard enough. So I take my hat off to anyone who trains, because showing up prepared for whatever your job is, not even an industry job, you know, whatever it is, you know, I respect that. So.
Well, and when you're talking about training, you're talking about all kinds, aren't you? You're talking about dance training and weight training and martial arts training and
all kinds of
acting.
Acting, even if your training is, you know, showing up knowing all your lines, you know. So I've worked with so many actors, like, they think that... you know, the work is getting the job, but it's not. Like, that's like the, I dislike auditioning so much, but that, unfortunately, that's, I mean, that's where my fun begins, after I get the job. The work is my audition, but I mean, I have fun on set, and everyone thinks that, oh, you know, I got the job now, ooh, yeah, and I can celebrate and have a good time, but no, it's just starting, you know, so.
Well, especially for some of the roles that you've had, like, they've been like,
Yeah, I mean, the one I just did in the Arctic, like, that was really intense. It was just very emotional up there. It was crazy. And working with an amazing scene partner, like, an amazing cast, is so important. Like, I think you could have someone who's never acted before in their life work with a great scene partner, and they would have a great performance. Because when you're not acting for yourself, that's when true, like, emotions and honesty comes out, I think.
That is a great thing to say. I agree completely.
Yeah. You can tell when someone's acting for themselves, I think. And I don't like it. Like, I'm like, that's such a selfish actor. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, of course, I hate when people say that, like, theater is an actor for act, you know, for acting and for actors, and cinema isn't. But that's so, like, untrue. I think it has to be, you know, more so cinema has to be an actors for actors. Because you have to do it so many times in a row, and you have to be there every single day for hours and hours, and, you know, it's such an interesting thing.
I'm so happy you brought that up, because, you know, a lot of actors who end up in TV and film come from a theater background, and there's this kind of, like... assumption in the culture, like you know, real acting occurs on stage.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, no.
It's like, it's all real acting. When you're on stage, I've never done stage acting, but I'm assuming when you're on stage, you're so immersed in it, it's easier to get out, you know, because you're literally surrounded by it, and you're going from the start to finish. When you're acting on set, you have to create it. Like, it has to be, it has to come from a certain place. So your actors, I think, have to be more of a family.
Yeah.
I would think so. I mean, I don't know, but...
Well, acting on TV and film, you are interrupted constantly.
Yeah, someone's moving a light. Ah, darn it. Then you, in your head, you're like, I don't want to stop the scene, but, you know, you do that whole thing, you're like, just keep going.
Yeah, and there's no arc. You have to be, like, creating the arc ongoingly.
Yeah, it's different. It's interesting.
Well, then, so your dad's your manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is he also your agent, or do you have an agent, or
yeah,
how did that happen?
It's kind of a weird thing. I had an agent, but I haven't had an agent for years. I don't know how I keep getting work, but it's a whole thing. Work, you know, you do good work and it pays off, and you just got to keep pushing forward. We work with an agent. He works with an agency, so it's kind of like a double whammy. But, yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. kind of doing my own thing, I guess.
Well, I think at this point, the quality of your work is such that people are going to be looking for you specifically. Yeah. So you don't have the problem that most actors have, which is like to just have somebody try to beat down the doors for them to get them in the room.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. And I think the way I look, too, is so different. It's, you know, me just doing general auditions. It's such a, I don't want to say waste of time, because the more people you know, and if you impress someone, it's great. But I've done that, you know what I mean? I've done so many auditions to where it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm not, sorry to all the white people, but I'm not, I'm not going to fit into this family. Like, I have dead parents. Like, this is just not going to work. Like, very rarely. So it's my audition, like, what I audition for is so specific. Like, it's a very specific person, I guess.
Talk about that a little more, because I think when you're outside of the industry, there's a lot of confusion about that. And I try and tell, you know, kids who are looking to break into the business, look, so much of casting,
it's not about you. Yeah, it is not. It's so frustrating, and it's a hard mental thing to get over. But I don't know, it's such a hurdle. But it's not about you. It isn't. You could be amazing in an audition and kill it and feel great about yourself. But if you don't fit into the family, if you don't, if you're not tall enough, if you're not, you know, if you don't, you know, have that best friend quality enough, if you're too much of this, too much of that, it's just, I think once I started writing and once I started thinking, like, as a director, because I want to direct, it made me realize that it wasn't personal. You know what I mean? Like, it's not personal. And I always took it so personally. I was like, oh my God, did they not like me? And then you're stressed for your next audition because you're trying to be good and putting too much pressure and awareness on something is not good. And I don't know. Yeah, you just have to. You have to get over that hurdle. I still am. You know, it's so frustrating. You know, but it's just auditions.
Well, when you're an artist and you're giving it everything you've got and you really want the role, it is still emotionally hard. Even mentally, you know, I know it's not about me. I know it's not personal. Your heart's like, but it is.
Yeah, but it is. I know.
It feels personal.
It's hard. It's annoying.
Well, so speaking of auditioning, do you have any audition advice for, you know, actors out there or wannabe actors?
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, I think the biggest thing is when you have an audition, I don't want to say don't give it everything you've got, but don't put... This is very hard to explain because I don't want to say, like, don't try hard. Because obviously, yes, do all your work. Train as hard as you can. Be prepared as well as you can with the material given. But don't go in with all your energy, full-on, blown stamina, unless the scene calls for it. Because so many actors try and do way too much in the audition to show that they're a good actor. Instead of just playing the scene. You have to just play what you're given. Instead of trying to convince everybody that you are a good actor. Like, if the scene's emotional, be the emotion that it calls for. Don't be over-emotional. Because you're trying to be like, I'm a good actor, I can cry. I can, you know, I can do nothing. You know what I mean?
See, this tears.
Yeah, tears don't mean you're a good actor. You know what I mean? Like, it's such an interesting thing. Because I've seen it with some of friends and things like that. And, yeah, you just, because they're good actors, but they have this opportunity, and so they're going to go in and do everything they can to get it. And it's like, yes, but no at the same time.
Yeah, because that's not really what the casting director's looking for.
Yeah, just play the scene and do what it calls for. That's it. You know what I mean?
That's great advice.
You know, because I do that too. You know, I go in and I'm like, I really want this job. And then I start doing things that I used to do to make sure that I was a good actor. You know what I mean? Instead of being confident and knowing that I can do this, like, whatever. You know, like I'm doing with my friends.
You know? Well, in real life, we aren't over the top.
Exactly. No.
You know.
Yeah.
I love that. What you've been doing this for a long time now. You know, your IMDb sheet is long.
Yeah.
It's really impressive.
I don't even know. Some of those new things, I'm like, this is not right. People are just
putting things on there. Yeah, in production. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't signed that contract
yet.
Well, so what has surprised you about this industry? Have there been any surprises for you? Things that weren't the way you thought they were going to be? Or?
Yeah, no, I guess. Because it's been an interesting thing. Like, being a part of Twilight at such a young age to a young adult, I guess, is... That I think maybe for... It's funny, I just ran into Kellen, like, one of the guys at a comedy show just yesterday. And we actually just talked about it for a split second before we had to cross the street. Just on, like, if I ain't talked to any of the guys anymore. I talked to some of them, but it's such a weird time. And so being a part of that and being in that submerged in that bubble of crazy fandom, and then it, like, popping, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it being over. Like, sure, I still get stopped for Twilight stuff, like, here and there, but it kind of, it was a reality check, and I'm so glad that I was surrounded by the right people. It's a reality check to where it's like, that's not life. That's not going to last forever, okay? You know, you did Twilight, but you're not going to be offered the lead in the next Steven Spielberg movie, you know what I mean? Like, that's just how it is. I'm going to audition, you know? Here I am auditioning again, you know? But, so, I think having that done to me at at the right age was so awesome. I really appreciated that because it humbled me. And, you know, here I am, you know, you still got to audition. I was so lucky to be a part of X-Men, and Descendants has been incredible. But they will end, you know what I mean? And, you know, 2015 was a slow year, you know, like, not a lot happened, I think. Was it? Yeah. Things were just coming out for me. Like, Descendants was getting released and things like that. And it's a year of publicity. But in reality, you know, it wasn't really working. You know what I mean?
Publicity isn't... I mean, it is a lot of work, but it doesn't generate a paycheck.
Yeah, it's not what I love to do. Like, no. I feel like that's what I get paid to do. Like, being on sets is fun. You know? Like, such a weird thing. So it's just... I guess something that has surprised me is just how humbling the industry can be. Inside of a world that's so, like, you know, boastly or arrogant, I guess.
Overblown,
you know, but it is extremely humbling, like, at the same time.
Yeah, because to go through that kind of craziness, you know, which I can't even imagine. I mean, because the Descendants' craziness is pretty fierce.
It's been crazy, too.
I mean, that's pretty crazy, but my goodness, the whole, you know, Twilight thing, that was just a whole other layer of crazy.
I know, it was crazy.
But to ride that arc and come out the other side and go, oh, all right, life isn't going to be like this all the time. There is an end to it, and then you have to roll up your sleeves and do the next thing.
I think that just goes to, like, being surrounded by, like, people who are honest with you and aren't just telling you that you're the next greatest thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think that's where, you know, young actors in particular can really... You know, I want to say be not well served, as if they get you know, fortunate and fame and good fortune hit them at a certain age, they can have their heads really turned by it, and it can really hurt them as people.
Oh, I see it happen all the time, like, for sure. Like, I see little cliques of friends, you know, little cliquey groups, and I just try and avoid that, honestly. Like, I see my friends fall into little cliquey groups, and I'll still hang out with them, but not with the group. Just because, you know, sometimes you see it and inside their group, life is amazing. You know, life is great. Then they go home and, you know, here I am sitting eating Cheetos or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the one thing that social media, you know, it's an amazing tool. It can be used as a fantastic platform. It's built careers, which is fantastic. But at the same time, it creates such a facade, I guess, of a life. You know what I mean? Like, and I've seen it happen with, you know, friends again, you know. The real friend and then the online friend.
Yeah.
It's completely different. And I could literally sit in my room all day long and then go outside for seconds of the day and Snapchat a few things. And it would have looked like I'm having the greatest day of my life. You know what I mean?
But instead you were actually...
instead I could just be, like, sitting... scrolling through my TV, like, okay, I'll go outside and do another Snapchat. Oh my god, yeah!
Look at my amazing life!
Look at this! Oh my god, I'm riding my car! You know, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's not honest.
I'm so happy you brought that up, because you are one of the very few young actors I know personally who doesn't do a lot with social media. Like, you don't even have an Instagram account, do you?
I don't have that. I have, like, a fan Facebook, and then... a Twitter that I do.
But you're not super active on Twitter.
No, I'm not. Like, I honestly, like, when I was up in the Arctic, I didn't even go on it till, like, I maybe went on a few times, like once or twice in the few months that I was there. And I don't know. I I'm happy when I can avoid it. But then at the same time, when I go on it, you know, I see people, oh, it's my birthday. Happy birthday. Like, if Heath Ledger told me happy birthday, that would be, like, the coolest thing in the world.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I always think of it from a fan perspective, I guess. So I try and answer back. Like, when I'm on it, I'll do a run of, like, answers. And I have a good amount of followers, but I don't have, like, an unheard of amount of followers to where I can't do that. So, you know, every once in a while I'll jump on and say thanks. And people are watching movies that, like White Frog, when people see that on Netflix, I'm like, thank you for watching that. Like,
aww.
You know, I get enough Twilight ones, like, thank you for watching that movie, or, like, The Last Survivor's, like, thank you. Like, it's, like, real work there, you know? So, I appreciate that, I guess.
Well, so, one of the questions that a lot of the younger fans, I guess, ask of people that are in your situation is, you know, how do you deal with haters? And,
oh, yeah.
And I was just guessing to myself that part of how you deal with them is by not being on social media very much.
Yeah,
is that,
I
like,
mean,
one
honestly,
of your tactics, or that's just, like,
no,
a nice benefit?
Yeah, I mean, it's a benefit, and I guess it's a tactic. I don't have time to, like, I don't really care, like, what they say. Like, I think you have to just not care, because you have to know that they took the time out of their day to think about what they wanted to tell you, and they've gone on, they've logged on, they've went to your page, they've seen all the great things, and they want to throw in their hate mail, and it's such a dumb thing. Like, I don't like it. I mean, I don't know, I just try and avoid it. It's just, you know, there'll be, I know, for every handful of good things that, you know, there'll be two handfuls of haters, I feel like, just because people want to hate.
Yeah, that's just something I still really struggle to understand. Do you have any advice for young fans who are struggling with just, you know, bullying or haters?
Yeah, maybe some advice would be just try and understand where their hate's coming from, maybe. Because, I mean, why would someone want to hate on you? Like, what's the reason? You know, for everybody, that answer would be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think if you understand where they're coming from, you can find that, oh, maybe their life isn't as good as yours, or maybe you have something that they really want, so they're mad at you. And that kind of sends a whole nother outlook, like, oh, I kind of feel bad for them. Like, yeah, so, you know, let them keep doing their thing. Don't let it frustrate you, you know.
Because, again, it's really not about you.
Yeah, it's not. It's about them trying to express their hate for, or their dislike or want for something you might have. So just try and understand where they're coming from first.
Yeah, I think if you can get in touch with that it takes a lot of the sting out of it.
It does.
Know? 'Cause it's just really, really not about you. It's about them, and
mm-hmm.
It's pretty sad when you think about it. Well, at this point in your life, you know, I think anybody would say that you are a very successful artist, and that's a pretty cool thing to be able to say to somebody who's only 22.
It is. Oh my gosh!
Right?
Yeah. Thank you.
What would you have to say at this point in your life that you feel is important and not important for success? Like, are there things that have surprised you? It's like, oh, this actually, I thought it was important, but it isn't, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, or like, I had no idea, but it turns out that this thing is, like, more important than I knew, you know? Like, what are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, maybe importance would be, I guess when I was younger, it wasn't something that I really, you grew up in your family, I'd always tell you this, but, like, you know, having a solid group of people around you, people you can trust, even your friend group, like, just start with your friend group, like, literally, like, you know, especially once things start picking up, having the right friends, like, I've had the same friends, literally, for such a long time, like, my best friends are the same, like, three guys, four guys, you know what I mean, like, and I think that's something I really value, is being able to, like, call my friends and talk on the, like, someone I could talk to. That's something I really, really value and just vent to. And I know that they won't go telling other people. Or I know that advice they give me is honest advice. Sometimes too honest. Like, I didn't need to hear that. You know, like that part of the movie? Okay. I didn't need to hear that. but I really think that honest people, you know, good friends, good family, being close to their family, yeah, that's such an important thing, I think. Because the more success you have, the more, like, random hanger-oners. Like, who is this guy? Like, why do you keep texting me? You want to be my friend too much. Like, you know, this is weird. Like,
and I don't really even know you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you want to be my friend? We've never even, like, talked.
Yeah.
a weird thing. And something that I guess that I found out that wasn't so important. That's really difficult. The little things, like sweating the little things. I think, you know, for me, like, I do so many dumb little things, I guess, and it hurts the bigger picture, like, say, just, I guess, in general, like, coming here,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm leaving my house, I still live at home, you know, I'm leaving the house, we have all these animals, I'm, like, making sure all the animals have everything they need, oh, I need to put that shoe away, make my bed, like, do all these little things, but at the end of the day, you know, all those little things just bottle up inside, and now I'm thinking, like, did I shut the light off, like, the little things, I think, especially when you're working, when you're on set, if you have too many little things spinning in your head, it doesn't matter. Like, those don't matter. All that matters is what you're working on, what the scene is. For me, that's why I really love filming out of town.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like working in LA. It really upsets me when I have to work in LA, because I'm always sweating the little things that I have to do at home. When I'm on set, I have no little things. I have my hotel. I only brought a certain amount of clothes. They all match, so I don't even have to worry about what I'm going to wear. I don't care. Like, I just have less things to care about.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, as far as work goes, as far as, like, being less stressed just in daily life, when you have a meeting, when you have an audition, just don't sweat the little things. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, life goes on, like, just let it happen, you know what I mean? So that's something that's not as important to me, because I used to want to be perfect, like, you know, gotta be perfect in everything I do, but you don't have to be. Imperfection is fantastic for our line of work,
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, who wants to watch a perfect person on TV, you know what I mean? Like,
I love that, you know? I love that, because a lot of artists have perfectionist,
yeah.
you know, tendencies.
And I do, like, I'm not saying I don't, like, that's that whole, my friend Ben, what does he call it? It's called a post, PTT or something like that. It's like post-take trauma, PTT. Yeah, it's like, you know, and it's after you do a scene, you start saying, and after you got it, you're like in your head, like, and you're saying your lines, like, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, all the ways you could have done it. And it's like, stop sweating the little things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just stop.
And,
like,
don't make yourself nuts over things that are completely out of your control.
If you trust your director, and if you trust, it's in their hands now, you know, you don't have to be that's the perfectionist side coming out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, just, get it away.
Well, and I think, too, that that's because so many of you guys who are so accomplished, you are so accomplished in part because you have such high standards for yourself.
Yeah, high standards, high
right?
expectations. It's so frustrating.
Right? You hold yourself to a really high standard, but you're learning as you go that you actually do better as a human being and probably also as an artist if you find ways to just
mm-hmm.
let that go.
Yeah, no, 100%. You got to just let it go.
Well, so what are your methods of staying positive and focused on your particular vision when you've got all these distractions, which are real distractions, pulling you in different directions?
Yeah. Staying positive and focused?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, like, I started meditating. Like, I think it's a great thing to start your day with. Like, I'm not forcing it upon anybody, but it makes, you know, it clears my head, and it puts me in a good headspace for the rest of the day. And that really keeps me focused on my day. I don't know. Another thing to say focus is just knowing what I want, you know, knowing what I want to do. I want to be a filmmaker. I want to be a part of great films, things that I would like to see, things that I love. And I, just want to be happy, and, you know, being happy is being surrounded by good people and just, doing what I love, which is this. So I think that really keeps my head on straight. And kind of wards away all the people that want to deter me from getting that. So, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta...
Yeah, no, it's got kind of a double bonus. It's like it keeps your head straight, and it really does kind of, like, protect you.
It does,
from the
yeah.
crazy makers.
It's because I know, like, I want to be honest in my work, and I want to just be honest in what I'm doing. And if it doesn't feel honest, then I don't do it. And that honestly really keeps me focused. Because Yeah, especially with acting. If you're not honest, then what are you doing? Like,
well, if you're not honest, it shows.
What are you doing?
It shows, and yeah. it doesn't read, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work. So that keeps me focused, just being honest with myself, with my work.
I love that. That's a really nice litmus test. So, you know, for anybody looking at what they can see of your life from the outside, it looks like it's been pretty great, you know, but everybody in fact has challenges.
Yeah.
You know, we all do. We're all human beings and we all have our challenges. And, you know, have you had any particular challenges to get over to have the life that you find yourself with right now?
Yeah, I mean, challenges, I think for me would just be, I don't know, just looking so different from everybody else has always been a challenge. When I was younger, it wasn't an issue, you know, but when I started getting into the business, when I started acting, modeling was great, looking different's fantastic, dancing is fantastic, but in acting world, it's so difficult to look different, but to fit in. It's such a weird thing, and I've definitely found my, you know, my niche here and there, you know, doing different things, certain parts have pushed me in different ethnicities, and that's been fantastic. But I think one of the biggest hurdles is just, like, when reading things and just being like, no, this is, why am I doing this?
Why am I in this room?
I literally will ask my dad, did they look at a picture of me? Like, honestly, I just asked him that, like, last week. I just auditioned for this thing last week. And it's an awesome script. Like, I'm glad I went in. I like those casting people. I've always done great auditions with them. Fantastic people, I love them, but I literally asked my dad after I read the script, I was like, this is great and I love it, but do they know what I look like? Like, literally, do they know what I look like? Because I don't think I can do this role at all. Like, but hey,
just
you never
because
know.
You don't think you
if
look
I get
right
the part I'll
yourself.
Tell you.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But I just coming straight from reading the script, having an open mind, I would say no. Like, if I'd be like, oh, good audition, but this doesn't work. Going back to what we said earlier,
mm-hmm.
I think that's been the biggest hurdle is getting over that mm-hmm. no factor. Just like, oh god,
yeah, over something you have absolutely no control over. It's like
no
we
control.
All look the way we look, you know, we're
yeah.
a certain height and color mix and everything else.
Exactly, and yeah, that's been just frustrating,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's still frustrating, you know. Just last week I was frustrated. It's like I have to memorize 7 pages of dialogue. And really, I don't want to give a bad audition, so I'm going to give it everything I have for something that I kind of know that it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think about that a lot, you know, because when I was still going with Dove and she was auditioning for
yeah.
stuff a lot, you know, before things got sort of locked down for her
right.
for a while, it was like, why are we spending hours and hours memorizing these sides when you just
you
don't fit
do
the
it.
Description
yeah.
at all, but you have to.
You got to do it. You got to, at the end of the day, it's practice.
Mm-hmm.
Practice, at auditioning, because that's another thing. And practice at just being an actor, you know, memorizing lines. The more you do it, the easier it gets, you know. That's how I kind of get over that, I guess.
No, I think that's a really good point. And truthfully, like, it's just so true. The more you audition, the better you get at it. And you
at
know,
auditioning.
At auditioning.
Literally auditioning. And self-taping is the worst. I hate self-taping. It drives me nuts. I self-taped again last week. And met with the director last week. Then he gave me notes, and I self-taped again last week. And I literally told him when he was giving me notes, and we met for, like, breakfast, I was like, you know what? Gonna be honest with you. Like, I've only booked one thing off of self-tape. It was the thing I did in the Arctic. And I told him, I was like, you know, I'm doing a self-tape for this, and I just want you to know that I'm doing it the best I can. I literally have my dad holding his phone and trying to flip the sides, all while trying to be an actor with me. And I'm looking at a speaker. Like, literally looking at a speaker. Like, just so you know, like, that's what's happening right here.
Not perfect conditions for...
And then I'm editing, I'm like, putting the scenes together on Movie Maker. Like, off of a Samsung phone. Like... So
that's hard. I mean, I've been
he's
your
doing,
dad
yeah,
so many
he's doing
times.
Three things at once. Like,
yeah.
It's I'm acting. I'm literally acting. This is not honest work. I'm trying to give you the most honest work, but my friend Ben says it's funny. He's like, anyone good at the profession is good at making it look easy.
Oh,
And
so
like,
true.
Yeah, that's so true. Every actor can act. You know what I mean? I can act up a scene, but it's one thing to be an actor, and it's one thing to be an honest actor. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm being an actor. Like, you know, for that audition, I was like, I'm acting this. Like, come on.
Because it's just, yeah, not perfect conditions, not at all. I do recommend a tripod, just saying. Maybe you can get your...
Oh, that is a great idea. I don't know why we haven't thought of that.
The thing about the tripod...
All these years...
Is that
tripod.
It frees up your dad's hands to turn the
pages.
So
he can actually turn pages.
I know.
He's like throwing them on the ground. I can hear them.
Yeah, you can hear them like...
You can hear it in the audition. His voice is 3 times louder than mine because he's all in the camera right next to his head.
That's another thing. You can step away from it when you got a tripod.
Oh, God.
This is my hot tip, too.
Good idea.
Not that you probably need it.
I do.
We're doing a self-tape later today, so, you know, we feel your pain.
Oh, yeah. So annoying. I mean, the only good, the upside to them is that you can get the perfect, not a perfect audition, but something you really feel comfortable about.
You get more than one shot at it.
You get more than one shot at it, and I think that's good. But it's also hard, I don't know how you feel with doing it, Dove, but self-taping with your family is hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's really hard. Like, I would much rather... I like going in, I like meeting the people, and I like doing it with a stranger. Easier.
It is harder. Yeah, no, she and I, we've kind of developed a way for it to be as easy as it can be for
her. As it can be.
And basically,
I
just try and kind of, like, be as invisible as I can.
Yeah,
so that my
though.
Energy, my personal energy that she's,
I mean,
so familiar with,
mom,
doesn't affect,
my dad,
right?
Like, it's a hard, it's really, it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not ideal.
No.
That's why if you can go in and have somebody else do it, that's ideal. But, you know, not everybody has that luxury of time.
No,
takes some organization. Well, so let's talk about Disney for a second, because, you know, I don't know why, but when we first met, which was over Descendants, I thought that was the first Disney thing you'd done. But now I find out, no, you've done all kinds of stuff with them.
It was interesting. I've had an odd relationship with Disney. Well, I started with music and with Disney. And, I started doing music for them, and that was that. And I never did, that was all, I just did music for them. And then for acting-wise, Disney's always been really difficult for me. Really, really hard. It's a different kind of acting. I think so. It's a whole, I've always come from, I don't want to say like a movie background, or just like different background, you know what I mean? It's, when you're doing Disney, I feel like it's closer to doing stage work. And I've never done stage. I've never been a loud person. Like, when I did Disney auditions, they'd be like, okay, again, but just more energy, louder.
Bigger.
Bigger.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you know? And here we go. And it's always been bad. Like, it's always, there's a fine line of, you know, doing Disney work and different work. I think so. And I respect Disney, you know? Like, Dove being on a Disney show like that all the time. That's a lot of work, and it's a lot of energy, and it's very difficult. My hat goes out to all of the Disney actors, because I would never get any of the parts. Like, I auditioned and auditioned that 21st floor in the Disney building.
That 21st
it's,
floor.
Good God. And, I was there so many times, just never booked anything until, I did a few guest spots on, what was that show called? Good Luck Charlie?
Mm-hmm.
I did 2 guest spots on that, and I did a thing on Kickin' It, and I think that was, I didn't audition for it, that's why, because I did martial arts, and I knew Leo, and, you know.
You just got called in.
Yeah, and
that's
it was
nice.
Kind of one of those things, but I probably wouldn't have got the part, and then Descendants, and since then, Lab Rats, I did a few... I played a villain on their show, which was kind of fun.
That's
like,
fun.
We actually had a good time. Because I think I've warmed up to the kind of spirit of Disney.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In a weird way.
It is its own thing.
I've always kind of kept myself away from it. Maybe I've had a thing against it because I've never booked any jobs there. Like, literally.
You don't get to say that anymore.
I don't get to say that anymore, that's true. But now my hat goes off to Disney. And all the actors that have ever been a part of Disney. It's very difficult. And, it takes a lot of work, so.
Well, and now you're warming up to go film Descendants 2.
Yeah, Descendants 2, which I feel is like a happy medium. It's interesting. I don't know. The first one, actually, Dove helped me immensely get that part. because I didn't, going into those auditions, one, I was extremely nervous, and two, I just had no idea, like, what level to play it, because again, I had never really done anything for Disney, so I'm like, do I be really big and crazy, or do I, like, this is a movie with Kenny directing it, you know, High School Musical wasn't crazy over the top, I mean, certain characters were, you know, escalated, I guess, and over, you know, but Zach wasn't, you know, he played it pretty cool, and Vanessa played it pretty cool, so I was kind of confused on where to be, and I just remember them, Dove and I going into a different room, and just, like, loosening up, and just kind of, she just loosened me up, and just kind of got me into the spirit of what it was, and I was like, okay, all right, I think I can do it. Like,
yeah, right, this is doable.
This is doable, and, yeah, so that's that, so, going into the next movie, I think I kind of know where it's gonna be.
Well, you've got Jay defined now.
Yeah, I do, and the cast, like, I'll just feed off of everybody's energy, I guess. It's just, I'll know where to set it because of everyone's tone.
That's gonna be so cool. So, if you were not an actor, which it sounds like you are dyed through and through an actor at this point, not only an actor, but someone who aspires to direct and write and truly create film. But if this weren't your world, if you weren't doing this, what do you think you might be doing instead?
If this wasn't my world, is this like full on entertainment, like no entertaining at all?
You can't even imagine.
Because I would be a magician. Like, literally, I went to magic classes every Saturday. Like, I wanted to be a magician.
That's so cool.
That I would probably be like something in sports, like BMX riding or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of my idols was a BMX rider, Ryan Nyquist, and it's kind of cool in school. Wrote a letter to him because we had write a letter to your idol. Never responded. I don't even know. They probably didn't send him out, you know. But years go by, and I'd done Twilight and everything at an event. And it's some beach event in Huntington Beach. You know, all these, like, skateboarders are there and things. He wasn't there, but the guy putting it on found out that I really liked Ryan Nyquist, and he called him. And I got to talk to him on the phone.
That's so cool!
Yeah, it was just really cool. I'd probably be a BMX rider or something like that.
Or a magician.
So,
here comes Fern. Fern likes to make her cameo.
You're sneezing.
Sneezing and talking to us. Do you have any advice, as we wrap up, for kids who think they want this life? Kids who think they want to go into the acting world?
Yeah, I think this world and music and entertainment in general, it's kind of a weird thing. It's like, people say they love it, and like, this is their passion. But when things start going crazy, and when things aren't working out for you, that's when you really find out if you love it or not. So I guess, you know, go into it with an open mind, for starters. I think working with Kenny, actually, really, 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 he showed me that, without telling me that.
This is Kenny Ortega.
Kenny Ortega, yeah. Working with him, he has the biggest mind, you know what I mean? It's so open, and it's so free to suggestion, and it's so free to just input, and he finds the good in everybody, you know, certain things, like if somebody couldn't do something, he knows what they can do, and will make it work. Like, he just has the biggest open mind. So go into it with an open mind, and really, really sit down with yourself, and ask yourself, like, how much do I love this? Do I love this? Because if you don't love it, it'll tear you apart. Like, literally, it'll, like, eat you up inside, and it'll be a huge battle with yourself. I think that was, you know, me and music was a huge battle. Like, it was because I got thrown into it at such an early age, I was just having fun being on tour. You know what I mean? And we're recording. I wasn't even really a singer. Like, honestly, like, barely any singing lessons. I started when I got the thing. I was just dancing and having a good time, you know, it was fantastic. But after the record deal ended, because things do end, you know, after that ended, and after I was doing my own thing with the band and then solo things with my sisters and just touring, the grind started happening. And I just hit a grind and it got really hard. And when you're playing at Six Flags and, like, for people walking by, no one cares that you're there after going from, like, stable center to, like, no one caring. You know what I mean?
That's
and
a joke.
It's such a weird thing. I mean, sure, not everyone at the stable center is there for you, but still, you know, you're playing for thousands to passerbys, and you really, you know, you're like, do I love this? Or do I not love this? And I just did not have the love to continue that grind. You know what I mean? And that's an honest, you know, that's just an honest thought, and you just have to be honest with yourself. Because if you don't love it, and if you're still trying to do it, and you're getting pushed from other people to do it, and you're doing it for other reasons other than the fact that you really want to do it, that's just not a healthy way to live.
No.
Like, you know
well,
what I mean?
It'll kill your soul,
so
I think.
It
yeah.
will, and it'll end up, you'll end up hating it, and music in general, or whatever it is. And so I stopped it, and I still love music, I still play, I jam, and
record occasionally for things
yeah,
like Descendants.
Exactly. Dude, and having that background in music to help me with my acting and to just be a well-rounded person and entertainer is something that I'm so proud of, and I'm so thankful that I did. So I love music for that, you know, for that. But as a career, straight being a musician, the grind is not for me. Like, you know, so really ask yourself if you love it or not. Just be honest.
Well, and your training, you know, basically as a triple threat is part of what has opened so many doors for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got like a baseline of true, you know, competence.
Yeah, I do.
A whole bunch of areas that allow you to be a contender for things that you just wouldn't be otherwise.
Yeah, like if the audition calls, like Descendants, you know, I had my song prepared going into the audition. I had like a little dance thing prepared that I was going to do in case they asked me to dance, you know. So if I hadn't done that in, you know, when I was younger, I would have went in there blind and just been like, well, I don't really dance and I can sing a song, but you know what I mean?
And somebody
like,
else would have gotten the role.
Exactly. So, and also going into this, always know that there's someone that can do your job way better than you. Good God. Even auditioning for Descendants, I remember specifically sitting outside of the audition room. I could hear the guys, which is horrible. But I could, and I was listening, which is even worse. But I can hear the guys singing in there, and these guys were just killing it. Like, if you guys ever listen to this,
yeah.
I mean, they were just killing it. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, singing just great songs, these Disney songs, just belting, you know, doing runs, like just amazing. I go in there. What did I sing? God, I sang some song from the 70s that was honestly, like, the easiest song to sing. I wish I could... It wasn't Rock the Boat. It was something like that. Like, it was the most random...
Something with three chords.
Something was random... like, just the most random song. Easy chorus. I literally did the pre-chorus and the chorus, and that was it. Because I didn't want to do too much to where they're like, he can't sing. You know what I mean? I just did enough to where they knew I could hit notes, and that was it. I was out. Like...
But it was good enough,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, so just always know that there's people out there that can do your job way better than you.
But don't let that stop you, right?
Yeah, don't let that stop you. You gotta go and you gotta just be the best you can be. You know.
I love that.
Oh, God.
That's a gorgeous way to wrap things up. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Nah, that's it.
That's a great piece of advice for all of us. But
yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good, it's fun.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you like what you heard here, subscribe to this free podcast and leave a quick rating and review. A moment to click on a star rating really helps, and a minute to write a sentence-long review makes a real difference in the ranking for this podcast. Thank you so much for helping me. Do you want to know more about getting a young actor up and running in Hollywood? Buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And if you need specific help getting your career or your child's career up and running or to the next level, you can get a one-on-one consultation with me over Skype or in person in Los Angeles. Go to my website, hollywoodparentsguide.com, and click on the consultations page. Thanks, and see you next week.